You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Man there trying to stop Drogba from getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
That's not a bad ball for Pelé on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was! Carlos Alberto!
Maradona just walked away from Huddle then. Maldano, smoked and
Argentina the lead, the England players protesting to the referee.
Halve finale komen. Ik heb opeens zo'n gevoel dat we in de halve finale gaan komen. Met het balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan! Dennis Bergkamp!
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Who you are, why you are enthusiastic about Swiss football.
What do I love about the Swiss? All right. Well, I'm Basil. I'm 23 years old. I am from Switzerland. I'm from Schaffhausen, Switzerland. So let's say half an hour north of Zurich, half an hour, 45 minutes. What do I love about the Swiss football? Well, I'd say that most of the time, nobody always expects them to perform. Nobody expects them to perform well, but sometimes, well, in the past, they've always been able to surprise everybody. And they're like sort of the underdog, which still makes it into the quarterfinals or somewhat up there. And then, well, then they leave.
No, yeah, it sounds they are very consistent, right? It's insane. They always show up. But your answer didn't come off as too enthusiastic. Sell Swiss football to us. We've been just watching the Shaqiri bicycle kick that he scored last time against Poland, which looked fantastic. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, the thing is just you don't expect them to be so good. And the thing is they most of them don't play within Switzerland. They play either in Italy, Premier League or Bundesliga. And there they play in good teams. Like you have, I don't remember the name of the defender in Dortmund playing at the moment. He's Swiss. Or the Swiss goalkeepers. Like you have Bürki, you had Benaglio. I mean, for some reason, Switzerland also has good goalkeepers.
Yeah, Akanji is the Swiss guy.
Akanji, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have a little trivia question for you and Leon on the Swiss team.
It's like on our notes, because we share notes, it's redacted. So I can see that there's a question there, but it's all in black so that I can't see it.
So my question is... Switzerland haven't won a knockout tie at a major tournament since when? And if you give me the right decade, I'll...
you go fast.
I have no clue. I have no clue. Can I say 80s?
So you say they won a knockout game in the 80s. Okay, Leon, how about you?
So winning a knockout game.
Yeah. So normally the Switzerland get through the groups or the groups and then get knocked out. When was the last knockout game that they won?
Okay. I'll be more pessimistic and I'll go with the 50s.
Oof, you could have just gone below.
I know, but just for the sake of it, just for the sake of it.
Yeah. So, actually, Switzerland have not won a knockout tie at a major tournament since the 1938 World Cup.
What?
I was going for 1930s, but it's easy for me to say now. But yeah.
Wow,
that's about. How does it make you feel for the prospect of your team?
Yeah.
Now you're pushing your 90s. How does it make me feel? Well, I feel like they have performed and made it into the knockouts, but yeah, like you said, they always got kicked out. I thought that they have passed on to the next round a bit more recently, but turns out they haven't.
Yeah. So
how does it make me feel? Well, the thing is, you don't have high. Like, you go into these World Cups, Euro Cups, and you're like, you don't have high expectations. If you just make it to the knockout round, you're already happy.
Yeah.
And everything above is more than your expectations. So.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Like, I feel like if Ireland had that record, then I'd be like, well, whatever, we don't really qualify that often. But I feel like Switzerland is always there. You're just like, and I'm... Yeah. Usually not looking to watch the Swiss games, but they're just like someone that I'm more interested in against Switzerland.
Exactly. This just comes off as you compensating for Ireland not qualifying for the Euros.
Yeah, I mean for sure.
Okay, I do have one question though. Because I've recently read that Shaqiri, the magic dwarf, the Alpine Messi. Is still the absolute number one amongst especially younger fans. And do you agree there, or would there be a different player that you think you'd like to go out on a beer with? What's for
me,
choice?
Me, to be honest, I've never been such a crazy fan of Shaqiri. To me, I don't mean to sound judgy, but ever since he left Basel, he hasn't really performed crazy. And I mean, he's been with the clubs that were performing well. I mean, he was with Bayern Munich. I think he won the Champions League with Bayern Munich even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Then where did he go next? I mean, now he just left Liverpool as well. And now he's in Italy again. I'm not sure. But to me, he was never the... I'm going to say now, to me, he was always a bit overrated.
Yeah.
But yet, in the Euro Cup or World Cup, I feel like every time I watched him, he performed like crazy. So I'm like, I don't hear anything from you for the last 2 years when you play in your clubs. But then when you're at the World Cup or Euro Cup, you perform. So
but
that's sort of my relationship.
There it is, that's right? That's the explanation.
For the national team. Keeps,
yeah.
Keeps
his legs fresh for good old Switzerland.
Fair enough with the national team, yeah, but he wouldn't be like my favorite player of the national team if you ask me that way. Now, if you're asking me who's my favorite player of the national team, I remember back in 2008, I was a huge fan of Alexander Frey.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember when I think it was in the first match when he got tackled and his knee got injured. I remember it was all over for me.
That's it.
I was so down.
Yeah.
And now I'm... who am I?
Fry is like the all-time top scorer for the national team, right? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you before.
Okay, but so the injury of Fry was like the all-time
the
low point.
Turn off the telly.
Yeah, the low point of you watching.
For me, it was turn off the telly. I mean,
but then what? The reverse. What was like the best moment?
The highlight.
The highlight of him, or
no, of you being a Swiss football fan and watching the Swiss national team perform.
Highlight.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly. 2010, when Switzerland won against Spain.
First game.
I remember watching that game in my little village.
Yeah.
of around 3,000 people, but the entire village gathered in that football tent, and we were all looking at the screen expecting Switzerland not to win anything, obviously, or not win that game for sure. And then I don't remember who it was and scored, and I remember how there was a 5-minute extension time and everybody was sitting on the benches scared that Spain would would still score. And well, Switzerland turned out to be the only team that beat Spain in that tournament, I think. So
they were
right.
Yeah,
so that was probably the biggest highlight for me.
Cool. Yeah,
No,
sounds fantastic.
No, that one definitely. I don't remember which one it was when they lost against Argentina in the knockout stage. It wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It wasn't the last one, but I don't
know. Wasn't the last one, right?
No.
No, last one was. Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's.
I would have to Google it.
Difficult to remember, but so.
2014.
2014.
Angel Di Maria scored in the 118th minute.
Oh, right at the end of extra time.
Heartbreaking. That was heartbreaking.
Okay. Do you have a ritual for when you watch Switzerland? Do you like to be in the same place, be alone with friends? What's the game day experience?
There's really no ritual, honestly. Usually, I know in Switzerland, when Switzerland plays, there's always a lot of Swiss flags in the garden of people. So maybe that.
Do they also have the one on the cars, on the top of the roof?
Yeah, in 2008, there were a lot of those on the cars.
Yeah.
But other than that, no rituals. And there's no one I would specifically watch the game with. So...
So then it's going to be us.
Yeah. What about this summer? Have you got?
Well, I guess I hope I get to watch it with you then. I mean, I'm here in Copenhagen. I'm down to watch football with anyone.
So, that's fantastic. So we'll come back to that invitation.
So final prediction: Are Switzerland going to break their knockout hoodoo and banish the ghosts of 1938 till now?
I'm gonna be pessimistic. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a decent group. I think Italy, Turkey, Wales as well are in with Switzerland. It's quite a even.
Let's see even how group. Italy performs. I mean, they weren't at the World Cup, so that might be a pro, but we'll see.
Also, that seems to be the thing, right? Swiss, they manage the group stage, but then it's immediately out afterwards.
I guess.
Yeah, group stage is easy.
Easier. Too easier. I reckon second, and then they'll get kicked out in the knockout phase.
All right. Thank you so much for the predictions and all the input.
Yeah, the very level-headed predictions. No.
Don't quote me on it.
Well, we will. We most definitely will.
We will.
Pessimistic Swiss fan not predicting their semi-final win against France.
Yeah.
That's just the thumbnail, no?
Yeah. Exactly. That's the clickbait line.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Basil, thank you so much for coming on and telling us a bit about the Swiss.
Thank you, guys. Cheers, Alex. Cheers, Leon.
Cheers. Have a good one.
So our next guest to introduce Turkey is from the Turkish football blog. Ahmet, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself a little bit? How long have you been following the Turkish national team?
Sure. My name is Ahmet Bob Turgut, and I'll probably be the first ones that on internet been following Turkish football and Turkish Super League in general. I have worked for a Turkish newspaper here in States for Hürriyet USA in 1980s and 1990s. Ever since 1989, I've been doing the blog, and I've been doing the TV shows here in the States. I do have a pretty good contacts with Turkish Super League and also Turkish national team.
Mm-hmm. And through all that time, what have been some of the like absolute highlights of following the Turkish national team? Like, are there certain games or memories that stick out?
Memories, the most important one, when back in 1995, when Turkish national team with Fatih Terim was coach, first time and ever, they came to camp, do camping in Canada. And then I followed all the, pretty much all the Turkish national team camps all over the world.
Cool, cool. And have you like some, any really like really good stories from some of the people that you met along the way?
I have met Fatih Terim. I also know Şenol Güneş very closely. And I would not forget the 2002 Turkey becoming the third place in that World Cup tournament. And it was his first win. Surprise, it was his first time coaching the Turkish national team. And as you know, at that time, Şenol Güneş was a rookie coach back in 2002. And that was, you know, it caught a lot of people surprise. Turkey finishing third place in that tournament. But overall, they had some good turnout after that. What happened after 2002, they couldn't repeat. And then the Turkish national team went down for a long time. They were struggling there. They went as far as like 49th place in the FIFA standings. So, I think the highlights of Turkish national team, that was back in 2002 and never got back to until now. And speaking of this generation, new generation of the team, a lot of team players are playing in Europe. Players like Ozan Kabak and Burak Yılmaz. I think they will do good in this tournament.
What caused the kind of decline after 2002? Like, what was the, because I know, I mean, Turkey reached the semifinals of the Euros in 2008 as well, but then it's not that the plight that the team hasn't been so consistent since then.
Many effects, you know, there's a lot of too much politics in Turkish football, in Turkish national team. And then after he became third place in the World Cup, what happened? They sacked him. He lost his job, Şenol Güneş. And then he was out of job for a while. And then Fatih Terim came in, and too many coaches came in into the scene ever since 2002 to 2021. Probably every coach had their different style of play. And let's face it, the players, like you said, they're from the 2002 team, they were old. They left the football scene, and there was not enough enough guys that come into a national level to play, you know, that kind of level football. That's what happened. I think a lot of the, I blame it to a lot of these teams that bringing in foreign star players there who were older, and a lot of the teams that didn't use a lot of young Turkish players came from their farm team. That's what happened, I think. Right now, you're seeing the best crop of the Turkish players that playing in Europe and then in Turkey too. A lot of the goalkeepers right now, if you look at it, three of the bright stars, goalkeepers on the team, only one older, Mert Günok, the veteran goalkeeper, but Urcan and Altay is very young keepers. Are a lot of the European teams are after them.
Yeah, and now also Güneş is back, right? So do you think that the Turkish football fans expect a similar miracle kind of as 2002? What are the expectations with him being back at the side of the pitch now?
Well, expectations are very high. I can tell you the one thing, though, the opening match against Italy, it's going to be a pretty much do or die match for Turkey. If they lose that match, it's going to be hard for them to at least claim the second place. So a draw there in Italy, in Rome, and June 11th should be very good, because their next match will be against Wales, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's going to be a very important for both teams, because Wales is going to be pushing for a win too. Wales is a very physical team. Turkey has a very hard time playing against physical teams. But overall, looking at this team, guys, I think they have a pretty good chance to finish in second place if they do good against Italy.
What has Gunnar done to sort of turn the side around? Because I was reading about how, you know, last autumn they were like won one game in eighth, but then since the World Cup qualifying campaign has started, they've been like a house on fire. What has he kind of done to the team to kind of turn that form around?
Well, let's remember before Şenol Güneş came in, Lukescu had these young bright stars. We have to give him credit too. So he took the team from Lukescu and Romanian coach. And in his term, we had these guys. I think being Turkish on the team as a coach and then communicating with the players mm-hmm. much better. And then the young players believe in Şenol Güneş and his experience. And let's face it, Şenol Güneş is celebrating his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Wish him, happy birthday. Yes.
Happy birthday too. He's 69 today. And I think he's in top level right now mm-hmm. coaching. And he has learned from his mistakes. And he's become a better coach on the way ever since 2002. I think he sees the match differently now. And then his communication style is much better than used yeah. to be. Communicating with young players. And the biggest advantage that he has with this team, you have very good, talented players along with veteran players. Burak Yılmaz is probably the most versatile veteran player who will do really good scoring goals. As far as his play of style, he likes to play 4-4-2. Sometimes he changes to 4-1. And, you know, he uses one person that helps on defense. So you could look at that five, you know, defense, or you could look at 4-4-2. So I think he's going to be choosing 4-4-2 playing against Italy in the opening match.
Who are some of the key players that maybe fans of other countries would be not so familiar with, like they'd be familiar with Sönke and Yılmaz Özdemir?
Number one, from the veteran player, the person who's going to score all the goals will be mm-hmm. Burak Yılmaz. As far as the younger generation, you got Ozan yeah. Kabak, and you have Ozan Tufan, and you have player from Yusuf Yazıcı from Lille, who played in French League. And you have quite a young players on defense in the midfield. The player that Kenan Karaman, who will be on in the forward position. Kenan Karaman is very good player. It has powerful shots. So as far as in goal, we don't know at this moment who he's going to choose for playing against yeah. Italy. But I think he might just go with the veteran goalkeeper, mm-hmm. Matt Günok. But don't be surprised if he uses one of the young goalkeepers, Altay or Urcan. Mm-hmm.
And what is like the realistic expectation for Turkey in this tournament? Are people thinking about a quarterfinal or even further? Or because what is the belief?
If you ask some people, they want to see them playing in the final match. But I think if we talk realistically, I think quarterfinals should be a good stuff for our Turkish national mm-hmm. team.
Yeah.
Because, not forget, because this is pretty young
yeah,
team.
Yeah, and I think it's also like exciting, right? If they do reasonably well in this tournament, it bodes well for tournaments down the line, right?
an observation, because we've talked about the same in Spain and in Germany now, where you've got younger players stepping up and you don't quite know, it's hard to assess how good the teams will actually be. So this will be the first time to measure the success of the youth.
I think they're already although they haven't done good things lately in friendly matches, but I think when it comes to this opening match, I think the players are set and hyped for this Italy match, for this tournament, and expectations are very high from the fans, from the Turkish people, and also I think from the coaching department too. And I think Şenol Güneş is going to put the best team out there, especially in first opening match against Italy. Yeah, Şenol Güneş will go out winning. That's what he said. He wants to win this match against Italy. But I think first 15 minutes, Italy and Turkey will test each other. And then counterattack. And I think you will see that we're going to be seeing a very good match against Italy.
Mm-hmm. And it's quite an even group. Like, I feel like it, like people kind of assuming that Italy would be top of the group, but I think like Turkey should definitely be able to fancy their chances both against Wales and Switzerland as well. They're both like games that should realistically stand a good chance of winning.
I agree, but you got to remember the second match against Wales. If Turkey somehow loses the match against Italy, it's got to be do or die match against Wales.
Yeah.
If they even tie that match, their hopes will not be there for second place.
Mm-hmm. We have one final question that we've been asking all of our guests, and it's if you could meet up for a coffee or with a player past or present from the national team, who would it be and why?
Well, I think one of the great players that in my childhood days, which he's not, you know, he passed away. My idol, even though I'm not a Galatasaray fan, but he was huge Turkish star, Metin Oktay. And I have met many of the young generation from starting 1990s. I would say Metin Oktay.
Metin Oktay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for giving us your time to join us on the podcast.
No problem. Really, just remember, I am 64 years old, so I kind of like the old generation players that I as a kid that I looked up to, and Metin Oktay was one of the players that did a lot of good things for Turkish football and also Turkish national team.
Yeah, no, I it's always the players who are like big when you're young, they'll always be the greats, no matter how old you get.
Yeah, it's just like Pelé is in my books as different, has a special place.
Yeah.
Even though I did shook his hand and while he played here for New York Cosmos.
Oh wow, that's that's a real claim to fame.
Yeah,
ask you about that.
Back in 1980s, when Pelé, Beckenbauer, and Turkish legend goalkeeper Erol Yasin Özdenek. Also played for a Turkish national team, played for New York Cosmos. As a matter of fact, we communicate with him. He lives in California.
Yeah.
He's very excited for this tournament too.
Mm-hmm. I did want to just ask you, when you watch the Turkish national team games, do you like to watch it by yourself or do you have like a big party with lots of people?
I used to watch it with a lot of people. Now it's just the family with my sons.
Yeah.
One of my sons lives in California now. He can't watch it with me, but I watch it with my younger son.
All right. Well, I hope you have an enjoyable tournament as much as possible.
Thank you for calling. And I am very grateful to be on your podcast. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you so much. And have a good day, man. Thanks for joining us. Our next guest, Anthony, is going to be discussing Wales. Anthony, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit, maybe like where in Wales you're from or like how long you've been following the national team?
Yeah, I'm 54. I'm from a little town Penkoy, just outside Cardiff. I'm living in Copenhagen now. I've been living here for 15 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I miss my football when I'm back home in Wales. So other than that.
Are you a Cardiff City fan?
I am indeed.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. So great weekend watching our competitors down the road missing out, don't go.
Yes,
to the
lose
League.
Out in the playoff final.
Yeah. Disappointed that Newport didn't go up, though. They missed out as well.
Yeah, I saw them. Newport missed out. Our football coach here, actually, he's Danish, but he's actually a Swansea. He's a Swansea fan.
Oh, okay. But, oh, good. Yes. Good. I hope he's pretty upset then. Yeah.
No, let him know. Like, when we talk about the Wales national team, the 2016 sort of story, yeah, was like, seemed like very much like a fairy tale, like how the way the fans got in France got behind the team and stuff like this, and like the trip that the team went on. Do you have like a favorite memory of that tournament?
2016, yeah, I went out there for the first game. I went out to Bordeaux, and mm-hmm. It was a fantastic trip. The fans were really good and well behaved, and it was just really good spirited out there, you know. And I've been following Wales since I was a kid. I played football when I was back home. And we've had a lot of upsets over the years, you know. We've failed twice against Scotland with them cheating with their handballs. And not that we hold a grudge. But
we do.
I think it was 1992. No, it was in 1992, I think, something like that. We almost got to the finals, the World Cup finals in the US. Yeah. We had to beat Romania in Cardiff, and we were winning 1-0. We had a penalty, and we hit the bar, and then they went on and beat us 2-1. So we've got close a few times. So, yeah, actually qualifying last time was fantastic. And really great trip.
Mm-hmm. Have you like followed the Wales team abroad? Do you have any like great what have been some of the away games that you've been to?
I've seen a few times in Denmark since I've been over, so that's been nice. But now I've been out to Italy. That was interesting. Went out to Germany to watch him, Ryan Giggs's first match when he played. And I think we lost 5 in both of those games, actually. So not great memories from a football perspective, but fantastic trips.
No, we had a Scotland fan on, and he said Scotland away trips are a great trip ruined by 90 minutes of football.
Exactly. That's often the case.
But then, like, looking ahead, sorry, go ahead, Leon.
No, but is there like a particularly fond memory of Wales football history, like the one that you would point out?
Yeah,
where you was the very happiest.
I've got to say the in Bordeaux in the last tournament or whatever, when we were there was so many Welsh fans there, and when they started singing the national anthem, they made an old man very proud, and I think a lot of us had a tear in our eye that day or whatever. It was a long time coming, but it was fantastic. Yeah. And we actually went on to win 2-1 as well. And then the rest of the tournament, we went through all the way through to the semi-final, where Ronaldo got a header and beat us in the end. But the game before that, we beat Belgium 3-1.
Yeah.
And that was an unbelievable game. I didn't go out to that game. I was watching it on the telly, but I'm sure they could hear me screaming from the house.
Yeah, when Robson Kanu did that Cruyff turn in the box, and then
unbelievable, wasn't it? You know, I think the Belgian defenders are still looking for him, actually.
Yeah, for sure. But then looking ahead to this tournament, like 2020, do you think they'll be able to repeat some of the, like, because obviously they failed to qualify for the World Cup in 2018, and then. So do you think they'll be able to repeat some of their efforts from 2016?
We've got a bit of stuff going on with Giggs at the moment or whatever, which we won't bother talking about. But we've got like a temporary manager in now, and they've gone for youth, and all for the qualifying they've gone for youth. But I think they've gone a little bit over the top now. As a wise man once said, you won't win nothing with kids. So I hope my prediction is as bad as his was, and we can go a bit further. I think we got a pretty good first 11. But if we start to get some injuries, yeah, there's not a lot of experience in there then. So you never know. It's sometimes when they're so young or whatever, they're not so afraid to make some errors then, so they'll give it a go. But I'll be surprised if we got as far as we did last time. But we've got Switzerland, Italy, and Turkey in the group.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a hard game for all those teams, to be honest. You know, no one's going to, there's no easy games in there. I know it's a bit of a cliche that, but there isn't. They're all sort of similar levels.
Yeah, it seems quite even.
Yeah, you'd expect probably Italy to be the better team, but we're not bad on our day, actually. And so I think there's a fair chance that we can get through the group stages. Then it's lucky dip, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can get on the in the knockouts. So three games to the final.
That's the spirit. Yeah,
exactly. Besides the obvious players in like Bale and Ramsey and stuff, who do you think like could be some of the key men for Wales? Like, could be a surprise package. Obviously, Robson Kanu was bit of a surprise in 2016, and then
like I said, there's a lot of youngsters in there actually now. Yeah. And if Joe Allen is fit, I know he's not a youngster or whatever, but I think he was vastly underrated in France last time round or whatever. I thought he'd done fantastic. He was my player of the tournament, and it's tough to say. It is such a young team in there now, and we are relying on the likes of Ramsey and Bale a little bit, to be honest, but they can do it on their own. We've got quite a few other good players in there as well. Neco Williams from Liverpool, he could do all right. Kiefer Moore, of course, I'm going to say that because I'm a Cardiff fan, but he's ripped the championship apart. And if he has a good championships this year, they'll probably the Premier League teams will come in after him. So if nothing else, hopefully Cardiff get a lot of money for him, but we'd like to keep him. He scored so many goals for us last year. He's a handful. He's so tall or whatever, nobody could get near him. And I know the championship is a different level to international football, of course, but he's a great player and good for a big man. Good feet for a big man, as they say.
Feet for a big man. So
yeah. So now we've got a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Do you have a spot in Copenhagen that you'd like to go and watch the games, or is it just at home?
Well, my regular in Copenhagen is the Globe. I've got to say it's a great pub. I normally go there, but I do like to watch the big games at home, to be honest, because I can stay relatively sober then, and I can actually watch what's happening. And I like to be a bit insular sometimes when I'm watching the bigger ones, at least, you know.
Yeah,
we had the discussion of the pot before, and because I tend to agree, especially if it's like the big national matches, you kind of want to just sit there, take it all in, no distractions from the sides and everything.
Exactly.
So I feel you.
I think I'm pretty sociable as well normally, and also I'll end up chatting to somebody, and then the game starts, and they want to carry on chatting, so it's like
exactly.
Leave me alone, what's wrong with you?
And you're like, I'm watching here.
Come back in an hour and a half or whatever.
But prediction time. What do you think Wales will get to in another semi-final?
Yeah, I think best chance we got is getting to the quarterfinals. Depends who we get in the last 16. If we can get through the group, of course. But it's an interesting group, but it's definitely possible to get out of it, I think, and depends who you get in the quarterfinals then. But you never know. We shocked everybody last time. I think we got little man syndrome, really. You know, we're a small country or whatever, and it's the same in the rugby as well, really. We just keep fighting. You know, we never know when we're dead. You've got to sort of chop our head off, and it's a little bit like Monty Python, then we'll still bounce around on our head. It's not over till it's over.
Yeah, great reference. All right, we have one final question that we've been asking everyone, and it's if you could go for a beer or a coffee, if that's your choosing, with a player, past or present, from the national team, who would it be?
Well, again, I'm going back to my Cardiff City roots or whatever. Now I'm going to have to get Ramsey and Bale into a corner and convince them they need to come back and finish their careers in Cardiff and get us up to the Premier League. And there's a the odds have been slashed, actually, that Bale is going to come to Cardiff. He's 10-1 now. And he said he said that he's where he's going next, he's going to cause a bit of a rumpus when the news comes out or whatever. So wow. I think it could be either Cardiff or Barcelona he's going to. So I'm not sure. I think he should choose Cardiff.
Yeah. Which has the better golf courses, will be there.
Well, he's got a house just outside Cardiff, and he's put a couple of golf holes in the back garden replicated off one of the big courses, so I think he should start using them now. So yeah.
No, but I like it. That you enter the talk with a mission. It's just not just about the chance. No.
You're not wasting this opportunity.
Yeah, preach.
Exactly. He's got to do it.
All right, thank Fantastic. You so much,
all right, guys. Danny,
for joining us.
No problem.
Good luck for the tournament, yeah. And hope if Wales do well, we'll chat again.
Fantastic. See you in the final.
Yeah. Talk to you then.
All right, talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kick things off. Do you want to maybe introduce yourself, like maybe like what football team, club team you support, or maybe like where in Italy?
Sure. My name is Mario. I am the son of an Italian father, Chilean mother, but both my grandfathers are Italian. So I grew up in this very Italian environment, even though I grew up in Chile and in England. Never actually lived in Italy. I often go there, but more because of the family passion, tradition kind of thing. My team is AC Milan. It's always been since 93 onwards. Collect their shirts. I'm also a big Serie A fan. Obviously follow the Azzurri everywhere. And ever since Baggio lost that penalty kick, it's always been something of mine to follow the Italian national.
Mm-hmm. So what is your view on sort of the Italian team at the moment? Obviously they failed to qualify for the World Cup in 2018, but then they've had like 100% record in qualification with Roberto Mancini.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, when Mancini took over again, I was not very enthusiastic because of his last spell was okay, but it was not on the same level as Prandelli. So for me, Mancini was a no-go, but he's proven to, like it happens in football, to collect the new talent that has come through, and he's kind of shown what he can. He's managed to show and display the best young talent, mm-hmm. And I think he's been lucky in a way. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of Mancini, but because of this new crop that came about, which was about time, it's been a hell of a last 10-15 years. Ever since 2012, which we did okay, mm-hmm. It's been a hard road, man.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And who were some of the kind of, like, if you were looking about this summer and if Italy are to have a big tournament, who are the kind of players that are kind of going to rely upon? Is it going to be Immobile's goals, or where is, do you think, that the strength of the team is going to lie?
I think right now, finally, you know, when you need a spine of a team, yeah, in order to kind of like create something sturdy and something tangible. And I think for the first time, with Bastoni has come out in the Inter lineup as a regular. He's really strong, and I think he's going to be a starter.
Yeah.
I think Varela, also of Inter Milan, is going to be the one midfielder that's going to, he's kind of a game changer in the midfield. Of course, we're probably going to have Jorginho as a natural six,
yeah,
just like he did at Chelsea, but on his own as a single pivot. Varela is obviously going to be on one side, and I think Berratti is going to be the starter on the other side. So in terms of technical ability, for a long time, we haven't had these players in midfield. I think ever since Pirlo and Albertini that we haven't had a good crop of a three-man midfield that can all be good with the ball at their feet. And I think this is one of a life. I'm just very excited about the fact that they're all very young and they're at an age where they're going to transmit the correct energy, I feel. Mm-hmm. And then on the wing, you got Chiesa, which I think for Juventus was fantastic. He was already shown it at Fiorentina. But this year, I mean, Juventus struggled the whole year. And if it wasn't for Chiesa and Cuadrado, maybe he's not Italian, but Chiesa on coming on and being the game changer, Juventus would have been in third down. So to me, Chiesa is going to be a big must watch. Varela again. And then again, of course, Immobile. And if there's no Immobile, we still have Belotti from Torino. So,
and what about at the back? Obviously, I think as a Milan fan, you're probably not a huge fan of Donnarumma right now. But do you think that defense with Chiellini and Bonucci, sort of as the veterans, will be able to, like, do you think teams will kind of target them, Chiellini and Bonucci, like pace-wise? Or what's your kind of feeling about the defense?
I think Chiellini has been called up because of his leadership skills. I don't think he's going to be a starter. Yeah. I even doubt that Bonucci might even get a place. I think Acerbi from Lazio has proven to be a really reliable centre-back. And I think Mancini is a big fan of him. The guys came back from that. He had a hell of a year last year. And again, he proved it this year. The guy came out of... I was just reading about his life story recently. The guy came out of cancer and... amazing player. But I think Bonucci has kind of dipped a bit in form. And I think Bastoni might be taking over alongside Acerbi as the two center back. But that's just my feeling. Yeah. But of course, Bonucci and Chiellini are the big names. So maybe they're going to, one of them is going to be probably a starter. Yeah. But I doubt Chiellini is going to be. Toloi is also there, but from Atalanta. Interesting prospect. But I don't think he's going to get much game time. I'm just very surprised that Romagnoli from AC Milan was not called up on the last games of Italy. He was always being called, and he completely overlooked him this time.
And how's the overall kind of atmosphere in Italy, and also kind of the outlook of the sports media when it comes to this tournament after not qualifying for the World Cups? And I also read on Skybet that other teams are definitely higher ranked when it comes to the odds on who's going to win this tournament. So is it a new role to be not at the very core of the likely candidates to win the trophy?
Yeah, that's a bad thing, of course, but it's also a good thing to finally not be. I think the whole burden of being favorites on big names Italy always had throughout the years. I don't know, the Totti's, the Del Piero's, and so on, and even till recently, the Pirlo's. They always carried this weight, right? So I feel like for once the media has kind of like are excited about something new, and because something that's taken shape. That it's got no pressure on it, so I feel that's going to give the team wings in order to propel and excel and without the pressure. And again, young team, very young team. I mean, the oldest guy in there you got is Bonucci, Chiellini, Jorginho. Mm-hmm. The rest are all under 25s. So I'm just very excited. I feel finally we've got something going. In terms of excitement and energy as a squad, I feel England are up there as well with a very interesting squad. Yeah. And I think Italy, for the first time, it's not a favourite, and I think it's going to play in favour, not being a favourite.
And I think it's very interesting because it seems to be the theme that kind of runs through some of the interviews that we're having, with Spain also having a very young squad within a transition phase where they'll see how this is going to work out. Germany is kind of in the same stage right now. So it might be an interesting clash now with a new generation of players that will participate in these Euros.
Definitely. I feel, like you said, Spain, Germany, England, but from the ones that are getting game time, I think the Italians are a bit step ahead in that sense. Because you see players like Barella, Verratti and Jorginho already established themselves, but Chiellini, and you still you got Berardi. Yes, it's players that are getting a lot of games. I mean, big team clubs, and I feel in comparison to. I don't know, the German squad. I was looking at the German squad, the call-up. Of course, they're all interesting players, but I don't think they've proved themselves too much in comparison to our league.
No, exactly. Which is also why they backpedaled a bit, right? Because first they had a complete transition to just new guys who were going to play, but now they recruited Müller and Hummels to at least give some of the wisdom from former tournaments and kind of bring it into this new team. But of course, I get the point, yeah.
True. There's a new guy from Sassuolo, a striker. I'm just very surprised they called up, Raspadori. Mm-hmm. He's only 21. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like the surprise of the bunch that we're taking. Other than that, we left out Politano, which is the winger from Napoli. I'm surprised they left him out as well. Those were the surprises. And Mancini, the center back of Roma, he was also not called, along with Romagnoli. Mm-hmm. So what choices of the coach, but the core, I feel, is strong. I think I only can see Spain with a better three midfielders in the middle.
Yeah.
More interesting than the Italians.
Mm-hmm.
Fullback-wise, centre-forward-wise, maybe England are higher up. But in terms of midfield, which is where the core of a team relies, I think Italy might be, to me, their favourite. I don't say it from an Italian point of view. They're between the two, three. But I don't think Germany are up there this time.
No, I think Germany are in trouble, potentially, for the...
Yeah, no, I agree to some extent. But also, we'll see how it works out.
So what would you...
They might work the magic.
What do you think will be considered a good tournament for Italy in this? Like, do you think it's semi-final and anything else is considered a failure? Or what is the kind of, like... Because it's very interesting because, you know, they weren't at the last World Cup. So it's, you kind of... The measurement of what would be considered a good tournament for Italy is kind of hard to decide upon.
Sure. So, I mean, of course, the Italians find it hard not to...
It's winners or losers, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they like to over celebrate or really get on their neck if they lose. But I think I'll be satisfied with a semi.
Mm-hmm.
At least within the top four of Europe.
Yeah.
This time, I think the squad is there. They should be able to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Croatia is strong, Spain is strong, France is always very strong. But we should be able to get between those and leaving out England, Germany. Or at least be in that bunch, I feel. Belgium, of course. Yeah, no. It's true. Portugal. It's just a matter of, The thing is, okay, exciting squads, but then how do you grind those games? How do you win 1-0? And I think Italy have that in a bit of the DNA.
Mm.
Shootout Germany against Italy. will Italy make it this time?
doubt it.
Are we going to be the grinders again?
I don't know, but I'm happy with the choices. I think like the single pivot option of having Jorginho and Locatelli from Sassuolo are really interesting. I mean, if you look at Team Spain with a single pivot, maybe Spain is only up there with. I don't see. How Belgium
played
with it.
There seemed to be a bit of a change, like from like a few years ago, where it was always like the three in the middle with the one in back there. But now it seemed to be like the 4-2-3-1 is like more. You want two in there.
Yeah, or one. But the Serie A has transitioned a lot. It's gotten much more modern. They're kind of trying to emulate the Premier League in every way, and you can see it in interesting teams like Sassuolo, Atalanta. Napoli as well, Milan this year, they trying to play attractive football, and this has been finally transpassed to the national, whereas before we always relied on individuals and a strong backline and a super solid centre mids, maybe one or two creative players, one Totti, one Pirlo-esque doing a little thing, and then an old school number nine. I think for this time we're going to try and win playing football, and yeah, just very excited about it.
Well, sounds exciting. What has been your personal highlight of following the Italian national team? Is there like a game or a moment which you kind of like to look back on?
From what? From lately?
From the whole time that you've been following the Italian national team.
there was 1996. I remember a Euro where Gianfranco Sola scored again against England. I think it was against England. And I was living in England at the time. They took me to a pub, a really traditional English pub, and I was the only one. That was the moment for me.
Okay.
And of course...
to be protected from the England fans in the pub.
Yeah, exactly. I was the only one screaming there. And well, yeah, of course, 94 when Baggio lost that penalty, made me very, very sad. I was crying as a 9-year-old. And ever since, kind of like, and now the documentary came out just like a week ago.
Oh, have you seen it? I've heard it's got kind of mixed reviews.
I haven't started watching it.
I think it's an actual film, not a documentary. It's like with actors and stuff.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, but I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a documentary, but okay.
No.
Even better if it's film.
Dramatized a bit more.
Dramatized more, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have one final question that I've been asking all of our guests, and it's if you could go for a drink with a player, past or present, from the Italian national team, who would you pick?
Oh, past or present? I thought it was just present. No. Okay, past or present.
You can pick two answers if it's too difficult.
From today, definitely Verratti. Yeah. I've heard he's a party boy.
Oh, hey, for sure. Yeah. It'd be mad night.
I think he's an interesting character. He's always coming out with some random comments and quotes. But from back in the day, it would have to be Nesta.
Yeah.
Class.
Such a cool, relaxed centre back. And I just ask him, how does he do it? Effortless.
Be nice and smooth.
Yeah.
All right. Two brilliant choices. Thank you so much, Mario, for joining
us. No, thank you, guys. I hope it was a good input. I'm very excited this time. I think we have top players and very confident that we might be able to go all the way, actually.
No, after listening to you, I'm excited to see what Italy has to offer. You know, it's to see.
Yeah, that was very, very much a selling point for the team.
It sold the team.
And we'll have you back on if it goes the way that you predicted, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even talk about Donnarumma. Yeah. We didn't even talk about Immobile. Important players.
All right,
guys.
Thanks so much, man. Right. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, guys.
Podcast Network.